Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Seasons of Purpose broadcast, a ministry of New Season Church International. Ecclesiastes 3:1 states, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." We are your hosts, Pastors Jasper and Constance Whitehurst. Thank you for tuning in. And now let's begin our study in the all-sustaining Word of God.
Hallelujah.
It's a new season. It's a new day. Yeah, resting on you. I can feel it. It's flowing my way. Oh, oh, oh. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season, and it's coming to me. Or if you believe that, lift your hands and say,
it's a new season.
It's a new day.
Good evening, good evening. Praise God. We give God all the praise, honor, and all the glory. We thank God for his presence. We thank God for you tuning in tonight. Praise God to the Seasons of Purpose radio broadcast. We are your hosts, Pastors Jasper and Constance Whitehurst. We thank you for tuning in to this time of study in the all-powerful, all-sustaining Word of God. We pray that each of you have had a great start to your week, and we thank you again for just joining us, taking the time out of your evening so that we can come together in the study of God's Word. Praise God. We give God all the praise. We want to go ahead. We're going to get started with the program tonight by ushering in the presence of the Lord with a song of praise. Hallelujah. And then Pastor Jasper is going to lead us to the throne of grace in prayer. And tonight we're going to take a study on the topic of love, the antidote to offense. Love, the antidote to offense. So if you have not already gathered together your Bibles, your paper and pen for notes, we recommend that you do that. And while we're playing at this particular praise song, hallelujah, so that we will be able to go ahead and get started. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Every praise, yes, not some, but every praise, hallelujah, belongs to our God.
Let me hear the worshipers. Here we go.
Every praise
to our God,
to our God,
every word of worship,
with one accord.
Just know that praise is bringing you out right now.
God tonight. Come on, clap them hands. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank God for that praise song, amen. When you see me dancing, when you see me shouting, amen. When you see me praising the Lord, praise God. Every praise belongs to the Lord, praise God. Thank God, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your word in this hour, Father. We thank you for your holy anointing, Lord. We thank God for your strength and your comfort and your joy in our life, Father. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father, Lord. That we know every praise belongs to you, Father. We thank God that we had the ability to praise your name, Lord. Thank God we had freedom and liberty to worship to the Lord on this hour, Father God. We just thank you so much for your blessing upon our life, your protection, your provision, Lord. Thank you for your power, Lord. Thank God for your healing, your deliverance in our life, Father, on this hour, Father, Lord. We thank God for the word to go forth on tonight. It will be a blessing to someone, Father, and be a blessing to be a blessing to our heart, to increase your faith, Father, and to cease your doubt, to trust in the word of God and have no doubt at all of what he's doing in your life and our life, Father. We thank God for what you're about to do and what you're doing. Pray for miracles, signs, and wonder. Continue to flow in our life and in our children's life, Father. We thank you for this day, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. As I share with you, on tonight I'm going to share from the message and the topic, the antidote to offense. The antidote, praise God, to offense.
Amen. Praise
Our
God.
Scripture reference will come from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. And tonight we usually read from the King James Version, but for the sake of clarity, this scripture is coming from the New International Version, the NIV. And it reads, "If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trust, always hope, always persevere. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Yet when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, hallelujah, is love. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to once again, Lord, bring forth your word. I ask, Lord God, that you remove self out of the way, Father God. None of me, but all of you, Lord God. Allow your word to go forth tonight with clarity. Allow your word, Lord, to go forth tonight with anointing. Allow your word to go forth tonight and bring understanding to the ears of those that will hear, Father. We know, Lord God, that your word promises that it will go forth and it will not return void, but it will accomplish that for which it has been sent and purposed to accomplish. And for that, Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus shares in Matthew chapter 24 and 12 in response to the disciples' questions, and a question, and I'm sure that many of you are familiar with the passage in Matthew 24, 12, because the disciples asked him the question, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And his response to this question was that because lawlessness would abound, the love of many would wax cold.
My God.
And we are seeing this prophetic word being fulfilled right before our very eyes. What are you talking about, Pastor Constance? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because I have some statistics that I'd like to share with you that reflect the love of many beginning to wax cold. When the love of many begins to wax cold, murders increase. According to the Council on Criminal Justice, murders across 22 of the major cities increased by 44% in 2021 as compared to 2019. When the love of many began to wax cold, the crime rate increases. In the United States, 43.6% of women and 24.8% of men have experienced some form of sexual violence in their lives, some form of rape, some form, again, of a sexual violent act. The love of many has begun to wax cold. In the United States, when the love of many begins to wax cold, you even find in households that marriages begin to cease and the divorce rate begins to increase. In the United States, about 50%, that means every one out of two married couples become divorced. The United States now has the sixth highest divorce rate in the world. Subsequent marriages have an even higher divorce rate, 43% of all third marriages end in divorce. The love of many has begun to wax cold. Also, yet with these statistics, recent census data indicates that even though there's been an increase in the divorce rate, there's been a decrease in couples being married. That means that there are more people that have made up their mind that they are not going to or don't want to get married. Which truly, again, marriage was ordained by God. But we all know that the enemy is coming against the institution of a godly marriage, a marriage between a man and a woman. So again, we deal with the sin of love, that true love, the love as God had intended it, agape love, is beginning to wax cold.
Take this right here.
Praise God. So I want to begin to go ahead and share into this message as the Holy Spirit has laid it on my heart. Love, the antidote to offense. School shootings is another area where we see just the care, the common human caring and compassion towards human life, a decline that results in people taking the lives of others. School shootings, actually, there was a decrease in 2020 and 2021 because of COVID, because more students, of course, were studying at home. However, listen to this statistic prior to this. And since that time, since 2018, there has been on record 92 school shootings. Each of these statistics that I just shared with you have one common element. Each one of them are laced in offense. Somewhere along the way, whether or not it was a murder that occurred, somebody was offended. Somewhere along the way, whether or not a divorce occurred, somebody was offended. Somewhere along the way where a school shooting occurred, the perpetrators of these crimes, these acts, were offended. And these offenses, they don't lie just out within our community, within our society. These offenses have become to infiltrate even the body of Christ. Even in the body of Christ, offense, hear what I'm saying, offense is the bait that Satan uses to wreak havoc in the church, causing church hurt and discord among the brethren. So tonight I'd like to talk to you about five elements or points of power of offense in the body of Christ. How do we as the body of Christ handle offense? As I shared, love is the antidote. And I'm going to begin to unfold, praise God, this topic to show that love, my brothers and sisters, is the antidote to offense. Well, what is offense? Offense, as described by Merriam-Webster, is something that outrages the moral and physical senses. Another definition of a these latter days will arise and lead many astray.
Mm-hmm.
And because of lawlessness, here we have it again.
Mm-hmm.
And because lawlessness will increase,
yes,
the love of many will wax cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved.
Amen.
I'm sure at some point in our lives, we have all been offended.
Yes.
I'm sure no one on this line, if I could see a raising of hands and I'd ask, how many of you have ever been offended? I'm sure every hand would be raised. Yet offense in the body of Christ is unexpected and leads to church hurt. Why? Because the unexpected nature of offense occurs because when people enter the church, they enter the church with the expectation of the church being a safe haven and a place of healing.
My God.
Yet I'm sure we've all heard the expression that hurt people hurt people. Even in the church, you have hurt, wounded, and bound people. Some of these same hurt, wounded, and bound people are in positions of leadership.
Oh, Lord.
They're actually leading others within the church.
Yes.
And when you have hurt people leading other hurt people, you have a recipe for hurting people, causing further hurt and damage rather than healing.
Amen.
So what do we do? How do we handle church hurt? How do we prevent church hurt? Number one, this is an aspect and a point of power that I'm sure have been shared with many of you, because this is something that I was taught even as a child. The first point of power says, to prevent church hurt, treat others the way you want to be treated.
Repeat.
Treat others the way you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 7 and 12 said, therefore, whatever you want men to do, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Jesus himself gave the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The way that most people interact with you is as a direct result of how you interact with them. If you have a frown on your face, guess what? You're not going to get many smiles. But if you offer friendliness, friendliness will be offered back to you. The word of God shares that he who has friends must first show himself friendly.
Amen.
Be gracious and encouraging and a blessing for others to be around. We are children of the Most High God. We should be radiating the love of Christ that is within us to others.
Amen.
Being gracious, being a blessing again for those that are around us. Because if you have a negative and critical attitude towards people, it tends to generate a critical attitude towards you. Judge not, says Luke 37, and I'm sorry, says Luke 6 and 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven.
Say again?
forgive, and you shall be forgiven.
Praise God.
Many hurt feelings can be avoided if we realize that people usually react to how we deal with them.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Take a close examination at the way you say things. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Just reflect back on even your tone, the tone of the words that are coming forth out of your mouth. Reflect on how you talk, how you speak to others. Don't be rude. Don't be impolite. Check your attitude and that you're not being overbearing and bossy. People will be turned off, and they will seek to avoid you. Look inward and ask yourself, how am I treating others?
Mm-hmm.
As Michael Jackson would say, start with the man in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Start with the woman in the mirror and verify mm-hmm. if you need to change your ways. Remember, Scripture teaches that which a man sows, that he shall also reap. Number two, don't place absolute trust in people. Do not place absolute trust in people. The only one that you should place absolute trust in is Almighty God.
Amen.
Thus says the Lord, Jeremiah 17:5, because I'm going to give you scriptures to help to support every one of these points of power. Jeremiah 17:5 tells us, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength,
mm-hmm.
whose heart departs from the Lord. Absolute trust should only be put in God. Come to terms with the fact that everyone is human. And as humans, humans will fail you at some time or another. Even a pastor will make mistakes.
Yes.
Oh, yes, they will. The only one you can trust entirely without failure
mm-hmm.
is Almighty God.
Amen.
Realize that any human, including yourself, can fall short. The degree of trust that we place in people must be limited and will depend on their track record. The more we get to know a person's character and the history of their behavior, then we'll be able to determine how trustworthy they are.
Mm-hmm.
Look back over the history of the person that you're interacting with. Stop and do an assessment. Ask yourself, is this person worthy of my trust?
Mm-hmm.
That's not being judgmental. That's using wisdom. Because when you do an assessment and you ask yourself, has this person lended themselves to being trustworthy? Do they have a pattern of behavior that will allow me to be able to trust what they say, to trust in how they behave? And that alone will help you to be able to make a determination on, can I trust this person, or is it a possibility that if I do trust this person, that I'm going to get hurt in the end? This is something also that's very good to teach your young people.
Mm-hmm.
Because many times young people, they approach relationships because they have not had as much past experience, so they then themselves become vulnerable
mm-hmm.
to the attacks of the enemy and vulnerable to people that are untrustworthy. But yet, if they take the time to step back, assess the situation, determine whether or not this person first is worthy of their trust,
mm-hmm.
it will also result
result in them protecting themselves from hurt. And the scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those as we talk about even trusting spiritual leaders. It says this one, of course, one of the reasons is why that we must get to know. The word of God tells us to get to know those that labor amongst you. And so as we get to know those that labor amongst us, are they leading a godly lifestyle? Are they producing fruit? And you shall know them by their fruit. Are they producing godly fruit?
Mm-hmm.
And the word of God, as I was sharing in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, says that, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those that labor among you and are over you in the Lord. There's a difference also between love and trust. Yes, it is. God tells us that we are to love others as ourselves, that we are to show love. But there is a difference between love and trust. It's possible to love and forgive without placing absolute trust in another. That doesn't mean you can't love them. That doesn't mean that you're not supposed to forgive. But you are not supposed to place absolute trust again in anyone but Almighty God. The third point of power, don't get caught up in the offenses of others. Don't get caught up in the offenses of others. You find a lot of this sometimes, again, within the body of Christ, because you have people that have hearts and tender hearts towards the things of God and towards his people. And sometimes they will get caught up in the offenses of God, of others, not recognizing that this is a tactic of the enemy.
Amen.
What do you mean, Pastor Constance? Don't get caught up in the offenses of others. The word of God says that, Lord, this is Psalms 15:1-3. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness. We're talking about observing the fruit,
mm-hmm,
and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. Don't get caught up in the offenses of others. One of the great characteristics of the body of Christ is the care about the burdens and suffering of another. However, we, as we seek to console and encourage friends that have been offended, we may be tempted to take up the offense against another. In sympathy, we may tend to take part against the pastor, the church, or whoever they blame for the offense. This is very unscriptural and not a wise thing to do, considering that your friend could be the one that caused the offense. I'm just speaking again as the Holy Spirit has led. His or her hurt feelings may be due to a misunderstanding, a difference of opinion, his own rebellious, his or her own rebellious attitude. It could be due to emotional instability.
Mm-hmm.
Or the person could be childish and spiritually immature.
Mm-hmm.
There's always not two sides, but three sides to every story. His side, the other person's side, and the truth. So we must approach it from the standpoint of not taking sides, being prayerful. Sometimes sometimes the offended person will seek empathy from one that is naive and one that has listening ears.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go about pleading their case, pouring out their bleeding heart of injustice, yes, to those that truly have a sincere and tender heart and want to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Those are those people that they seek out. Their goal, the victim's goal, is to seek out persons who will coddle them, who will support them, who will support their opinion and take offense against the offending party.
Listen to them.
You should love and encourage your friend with hurt that has hurt feelings.
Amen.
But in the midst of your loving and encouraging them, you do not have to get caught up yourself in the offense. Because, again, the enemy will try to come in. The Word of God tells us to recognize the devices, brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Recognize the devices of the enemy. The Word of God even talks about one of the things that he hates are those that sow discord among the brethren.
Say again.
And we don't want to show discord among the brethren. It's not very many things that in the Bible the Word of God says that God hates, but that's one of them. So therefore, you should, again, show encouragement, but reserve your opinion and avoid taking sides. Lest sometimes you fall into sin, and you also, that same spirit of offense that's on the one that's offended and sharing with you, if you don't be mindful, if you are not prayerful, that same spirit of offense will come and take hold of you. So we must be mindful again of how we handle the offenses of others and again not become caught up ourselves.
Amen.
So again, first, treat others as you want to be treated. Don't place an absolute trust in people, but only trust in God. Don't get caught up in the offenses of others. Next, be committed to forthrightness and truth. Be committed to forthrightness, living a life that is righteous before God and speaking the truth in love. Scripture, Matthew 18:15-17 says, moreover, if your brother sins against you,
mm-hmm.
go and tell him
mm-hmm.
his fault between you and him alone.
Yeah.
I'm going to repeat that one. Moreover, mm-hmm. if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone.
Yes.
That does not mean that you go and share that fault with everybody that has an ear to hear and gossip one toward another, because then when that happens, then you fall right back into taking on the offense of another. If he hears you, says Matthew 18:15-17, if he hears you, then you've gained a brother.
Uh-huh.
But if he will not hear you, this the scripture, I love the Word of God because it gives you clear understanding step by step of how God wants us to handle
uh-huh.
every situation.
Amen.
And this tells you how you are to handle an offense. It says, but if he will not hear you, take with you one or two or more people, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses,
mm-hmm.
every word may be established.
Mm-hmm.
And if he refuses to hear,
mm-hmm.
then that's when you tell it to the church.
Yes.
But if he refuses even to hear the church,
mm-hmm.
man has wronged you, what does Jesus say? He says that you are to go first to them, and you're to confront them privately between yourselves. Now, that's where a lot of people miss the mark because, one, some don't want to become, i.e., confrontational, and then, two, others have a spirit of pride and say, I'm not going to talk to that joker. He or she, I'm not going to talk to her. Who does she think she is? And then the enemy begins to cause you to replay the offense over and over and over again in your mind. And as you are replaying that offense and following according to what Matthew 18, 15, 17 says, following God's plan of how to handle it, as you are replaying it over and over in your mind, then Satan is beginning to set up roots of bitterness. And if roots of bitterness that are left undealt with in a godly manner, strongholds begin to take place. Most offenses in the church result from misunderstanding, and many could be quickly resolved if the offended party would just go to the source and find out the facts. But unfortunately, some offended people will just absorb the offense silently, again, while growing bitter and resentful.
My God.
It is important to God and a matter of obedience, my brothers and sisters. This is not what Pastor Constance says that you should do. This is what God has commanded us to do.
Yes.
Instead of, it is important that we become obedient to the word of God. And such issues are confronted so that you will not become bitter and withdraw from the church. So that the offender is held accountable to not repeat his or her offense, which could cause harm to the other members of faith. Why is it important, again, that we go to them so that the offender who has perpetrated the sin might be reconciled with God? Your going to them and going to them in love and going to them in a forthright and truthful manner can cause reconciliation, which, of course, is not what the enemy wants. So if he can prevent us from being obedient to God's word, then therefore that caused the opportunity for reconciliation to not take place. But if we are obedient to the word of God and go and follow this particular pattern that God has set forth with how to handle the offense, then we could also be reconciled back with our brother or sister. And the word of God shares that if they're uncooperative, however, with your private effort, then you try the second time taking witnesses with you. And if there's no success, that's when you go together or go to church leadership. You should never take one side of a story and accept it as fact without verifying with the other party. There's always another side to the story. The scriptures address this very problem that before we believe a rumor, we are to investigate it thoroughly to verify the fact. Deuteronomy 13 and 14 tells us that if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination was committed among you, it says, then you should inquire, you should search out and ask diligently if it is indeed and certain that an abomination has truly occurred. Without a doubt, it is not relationship with a group of people without having occasional misunderstandings. My mom always says that teeth and tongue are very close, but sometimes the teeth will bite the tongue. No matter how close you are within a group of people, because you have differences, you're going to have differences. But you must know how to, with godly understanding, with forthrightness and truth, know how to handle the offense. Lastly, be devoted to love and forgiveness. How do you handle the offense? Be devoted to love and forgiveness. 1 John 2:10 tells us that he who loves his brother, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Christians will avoid a lot of problems if they will just commit themselves to unconditional love for the brethren.
My God.
We have to be able to know that the practice of loving the brethren and all the brethren, not just the ones that are lovable, because the ones that are unlovable are the ones that are difficult, are the ones that need the love the most. So the practice of loving the brethren keeps us from stumbling. Never forget that as we operate in love and unforgiveness, we are actually operating as Christ has responded to us. Never forget that Jesus takes personally how we entreat our Christian brothers and sisters, because they are also children of the Most High God. When we love even the least of our brethren, Jesus accepts that love towards himself, according to Matthew 25:40. You cannot love the Lord any more than you love the least of the body of Christ. If someone says, "I love the Lord," and yet they hate their brother, Scripture tells us in 1 John 4:20 that this person is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen?
My God.
So be quick to forgive. Don't hold grudges. Unforgiveness and bitterness is one of the greatest reasons why people get hurt in the church, and probably the greatest cause for apostasy and falling away from the church. That also is another end time prophetic event, falling away from the church. Don't get caught up in apostasy. Don't get caught up in unforgiveness and bitterness. Remember that unforgiveness is one of your greatest enemies. If you refuse to forgive, it will prevent God's forgiveness of your sins and could keep you out of heaven. For if the word in Matthew 6:14-15 tells us in the familiar passage of the Lord's Prayer, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespass." Where we started, brothers and sisters, is a great place to end. For the antidote, again, to offense is love. The unconditional love of God in action. Indeed, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. And now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I pray that God, you have received the word of God and let it go forth, resonate in your spirit, and be able for you to share and to operate within the love of God, the antidote to offense.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank God for Pastor Cummins for that powerful word. Amen. Amen. Have you taken your antidote today? Are you taking it today? Praise God. Love, antidote to offense. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's so true, so true, so true. You want to break the word of God down so it can be easily understood. Amen. If you need to take that antidote today, because Jesus did the same thing for us. And in our sin, he was an antidote for all of us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We thank God
Amen.
For that. Amen. Thank God for that. We're going to move on further and take some calls. But thank God for the word. She broke the word down, and she gave a great illustration of the word of God. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise God for that.
We are going, hallelujah. Let's talk a little bit tonight.
Amen.
We're going to go ahead and open the lines up.
Amen.
If there is one, praise God, more than one, hallelujah. We thank God again for you tuning in.
Yes.
Would you care to share in this topic or share a comment or concern of, regarding the message, or if you have a question, or if you just want to share a testimony,
Amen.
Go ahead and press 1 on your dial pad. We'd love to hear from you tonight. We're talking about love, the antidote to offense. Praise God. Is there one tonight? Press 1 on your dial pad. We would love to dispatch you into the studio. Hallelujah. Praise God. Love, the antidote to offense.
Amen. Praise God.
Is there anyone on the line tonight that has ever had an offense that you'd like to share and that you actually tested God's word against the offense and handle it according to the word of God and that it worked out for you? Do you have a testimony? Praise God. Do you have advice for those that may be currently dealing with offense? Go ahead and press 1 on your dial pad. We would love to hear from you. Hallelujah. We will give it, hallelujah, a few more moments. Praise the Lord. We have caller. Your last 4 digits are 0400. If the caller that ended your, thank you, last 4 digits was 32-something-8, go ahead and dial back in. We would love to hear from you. Caller, right now, your last 4 digits are 0400. Praise God. Mother Pat, hold on 1 second for me. We are dispatching you into the studio. The system is just a little bit slow tonight, but just hold on for me 1 moment. I see your hand up. Can you hear me, Mother Pat?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, praise God. Go right ahead.
That was an awesome message that you given on the antidote. You know, a lot of
Amen.
People don't know how to love Christ-like, and that was a
Amen.
Good teaching on that. And I was thinking to myself, I said, I will be like changing my name for a second. Hey, my name is Bennett, and I'm not in it. And
all
then
right.
I say, then I thought about it. I say, now, Lord, I have been offended in church before. But you know what? That offense propelled me to go further in Christ instead of having
Amen.
animosity in my heart against the person that offended me, I took the highway and prayed. You see, a lot of times the people will come to you and want your ears to be a garbage can. But I'll tell you, if you tell them from the get-go, hey, I don't want to hear that. Let us pray.
Amen.
Let us pray about this situation.
That's right.
And
let
then
us
when
pray.
You
Amen.
Pray, that'll give them they not holding to what I want to say, but they rather go to God. And that's what we supposed
Amen.
To do. Go
that's
to God
right. that's
first
right.
and ask him
yes.
to intervene. And then
Amen.
God is
yes.
the one that can bring the healing. God is the one that can bring the peace amongst the brothers.
Yes.
But if you go along and receive all what they're saying and then put your 2 cents in that may not even be right, then you cause a big old soul to the fest. So it's best to say, well, let's pray about this here and seek God to intervene. And that's best way to solve that. Yeah. All right,
Amen.
Then. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the teaching. All right.
Praise
Amen.
God. Praise God. Thank you, Mother Pat, and thank you for sharing those comments. That is so very true.
Amen.
That we should, when someone comes to us, our first response to whatever the issue or the problem or the concern may be, let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, he can handle it so much better than we can. So praise God, Mother Pat. Thank you for sharing that. Is there another tonight? Go ahead again and, excuse me, press 1 on your dial pad, and we would love to hear from you. As we are waiting, we would like to go ahead, hallelujah, if there's not another, we certainly want to take the opportunity to extend the opportunity for salvation, because that's our purpose of why we are here. Praise God. Romans 10:9-10 tells us that if you simply confess the Lord God, confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, ask him to come into your heart to forgive you of your sins. And if you confess the Lord God Jesus, excuse me, and believe that God has raised him from the dead, the word of God tells you that you shall be saved. And then the Holy Spirit will then be able to enter in and give you the power that you need to be able to handle every offense in God, with God, praise God. So all you have to do is pray but this simple prayer that just simply says, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I believe that you are the Son of the Most High God. I believe that you came to this world, that you lived, that you died and was resurrected for my sins. Come into my life and take charge of my life for the rest of my life. And if you prayed but that simple prayer, welcoming Jesus Christ into your heart, and excuse me, then we know that you are saved tonight at 9:06. On April the 4th, 2022, praise God, your name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, forever to remain, never to be erased. And if you did, hallelujah, contact us. Let us know that you've given your life to the Lord. We have a website at New Season, newsonmin.org. You can send us an email. We would love to be able to hear and welcome you personally, hallelujah, to the body of Christ.
Yes.
Well, we thank God again for each of you tuning in tonight. We pray that this word was a blessing to you, that you will take it and go forth, let it resonate in your heart, mind, and spirit, and be not only hearers of the word, but doers only, praise God. Go forth and have an awesome week, and to God be all the glory. Have a wonderful night.
God bless.
God bless, and we love you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. We got a message to encourage you and let you know that no matter what you're going through, there's still glory coming. And it's coming after this. Clap your hands. Come on.
Going through.